Lord, it would work that way. Most of the time, we get to keep them about 3 or 4 years. It's beginning to get a little bit longer than that now. The Army's trying to cut back spending money, and they're not PCSing them quite as fast. But we're still losing. About every 4 years, we lose. Every time they come back from deployment, we lose. Army moves some of them away, and this coming year, well, not this coming, but this year, at the end of the year, they will be deploying the entire division again to Afghanistan, which will be our 7th deployment as a church and as the Army post there. And I just want to give God praise this morning that in 7 deployments, or 6 going on 7, we've not had anybody in our church ever get hurt. Never anybody that was even close to getting hurt. And one guy broke his foot jumping off a truck, but I don't count that. But we appreciate God allowing us to be where we are. This month's been 14 years that we've been there. And the Lord has graciously blessed our church. And we started a Christian school this year. And we felt the Lord wanted us to do that. A lot of people thought I was crazy. But that's okay. God was in it. And so it doesn't matter what they think. We started with 25. You say, preacher, that's not very many. Well, it's 25. And we hope to gain more this year. We're building a new building this year if we can ever get a permit from the city. I told Brother Morris, we were sitting at the table, I told my men that I almost converted to Islam for a week just so I could drive a car bomb in the city hall. I didn't, but I wanted to. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. To the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. I had no idea that God would give me the privilege to preach this morning, because there's a whole lot of you out there that I'd rather hear preach. But God called me and enabled me, put me in the ministry. And when I get a chance to preach, I always thank God for that. Because I could still be out in sin. I could still be on my way to hell. But God loved me enough to come to where I was, because I couldn't get to where he was. But on May the 21st, 1978, he came where I was, changed my life. A few years later, I was up in Aberdeen, Maryland, went to church at Nottingham. God called us to preach there. I was ordained there. And Brother Dillon, I'm still serving God. And it's not always been easy, but it sure has been a joy that even in the valley, God's still good. And I appreciate him loving us this morning and saving us by his grace. Psalm chapter number 1. Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we ask you to help us this morning for just a few minutes. Help us to share these three thoughts that you shared with us. And Lord, I pray that it'd be a blessing and encouragement to our hearts. Father, I can't do this without you. And Lord, I ask you to, Lord, undergird us and fill us with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, enable us to do what you've called us to do, Lord, because without you, I can't. So Father, help me this morning to just be a preacher for you one more time. And Lord, help me be a blessing to your people. And God, we'll give you praise and thank you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Everybody, I think, wants to be blessed of God. Even lost people, if they have any fear of God at all, want to be blessed. They don't want to be cursed, but they want to be blessed of God. And if you went out and asked people, do you want to be blessed of God? Most people are going to tell you yes. They're going to say, yes, I want to do that. And, of course, the first step in getting God's blessing is to be saved by His grace. And to understand that you're lost, and we've heard about that this week, and how that you got to get lost to get saved, and how that God's got to draw you by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said you can't come to Him, you can't come to God unless you come through Him. And God's got to do some drawing in our lives. And I still believe in repentance. Still believe there has to be a turning from and a turning to. And I thank God for the day that He spoke to my heart and I turned from my wickedness and I turned to His holiness, realizing I couldn't do anything, and cried out and said, God, have mercy on me. And I thank God that day that He saved me and He put my feet on the solid rock. And I've been there ever since, and I've never doubted what God did on that day. You say, well, preacher, you've never doubted your salvation? I guess I'm weird. I've just always believed God. He said if I would do, He would do. And I just believe He did. So if I believe He did, what's the point in doubting what He did if I believe it? Does that make any sense? There's no formula for blessing that does not begin with faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's all about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the blood that He shed and the life that He gave. It's all about having faith in that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. People ought to be able to see our faith. They need to see our faith. And in this passage of Scripture, none of this is new. You've probably heard all of this before, but God put it on our heart. And listen, there are some dangers to being God's blessed man. There are some dangers to being God's blessed man. What are those, preacher? Well, I think he tells here there's a threefold danger of being blessed. Number one, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. It's amazing to me, and I pastor a church just like you, and listen, people are pretty much the same everywhere, okay? Every preacher probably has the same problems in their church that I have in mine, just different faces, okay? Same problems, different faces. But we all have those, and there are some dangers to being God's blessed man, and one of those is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And I've had people come to me and say, well, I talked to my friend, and their friend is lost as a goose in a snowstorm. They don't know anything about Christ, and yet they're going to them to get counsel about their spiritual life. There's a danger to being God's blessed man, and that's walking. Listen, it's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That word walking there means to be conversant, to follow, or to go along with. God doesn't want us to go along with the ungodly. We're not to have fellowship with the people of darkness. That doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't try to get them saved. It just means we don't continually walk with them. We walk with us.
Thank God for a meeting like this where we can all come together from all around the United States of America, and we all believe God, and we all trust God, and we believe in the same book, and we believe in the same Christ, and we believe in the same resurrection, and we can come in here and realize we're not in it alone. There's people out there that are having the same problems we're having. The ungodly are always ready to give us advice, though. And they do that in a lot of different ways. They do it in the form of literature. Folks, our schools are going into the tubes. If you've got children in school, you need to educate yourself about what's going on in the public school. Don't depend upon somebody else to do that. You need to get, and you need to educate yourself about what's going on in the Christian. Get involved in your kids' education in the public school. It will not take you long to understand what's going on in that school. That's why I started a Christian school. I was burdened for the kids in our church that they're in that. Listen, they're at church and we're telling them one thing, and they go to church. And listen, your kids are with those people 35 hours a week. And they're only with us 4, maybe 5 hours a week. And they're getting bombarded with stuff out there in the public school. They're getting bombarded with all those things and all that stuff. And it's all because of the literature that they're getting in school. And they're not getting the truth. There's a danger for God's blessed man. They get us in the form of literature. They get us in the form of advertisement. Oh, you have to have this. If you don't have this, you're a bad person. You've got to get this. Now, listen, if God wants you to have it, I'm not against things. God knows we need them. But let's just trust Him to give us what we need instead of going out and letting the advertisement determine what we go do. Let's let God do it. What did He say in Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, what things? The things that He just talked about previous to that verse. He said, I'll give you all these things if you just seek me first. You'll have no need. Listen, you won't have a need for things if you'll put God first. He'll give you what you need. They do it in the form of entertainment. I'm so tired. I'll be a little bit like Brother Joe. I'm sick to hear with people wanting to come to church and be entertained. Now, listen, I believe church ought to be fun. Worshiping God ought to be fun. It ought to be a blessing. It ought to be a glorious time when we come in here together. We ought to be able to worship God, but not be entertained. I had somebody say, well, preacher, I just wasn't comfortable in your church. I said, well, amen. I don't want people to come to church and be comfortable. Now, I love air conditioning, don't get me wrong. You know, I love heat, I love air conditioning. The guy that invented air conditioning is going to have a special seat in heaven. Listen, I don't want people to come to church and sit in the pew and be comfortable. If you're preaching the truth and you're preaching against sin and you're preaching what the Bible says, they're not going to be comfortable. I mean, listen, Brother Joe was preaching last night about demons. I wasn't comfortable. Why? Because God revealed some things to me in my life, spoke to me, and He did it on Monday night. Listen, I'm just saying that sometimes it's this thing of entertainment that we have to be careful of. We have a church in our area, and on one side of their marquee sign it says, a good band and Bible teaching. Now that's church. On the other side, it says, our pastor wears jeans and you can too. Now, I'm not against blue jeans, but I just wouldn't feel comfortable coming to church in blue jeans. Because I have something better than blue jeans, and God deserves my best. When we come to the house of God, He deserves our very best. Now, if the best you have is a pair of jeans, then wear your jeans. But most of us in here have got something better than that. I'm just saying that there's a danger to God's blessed man. And one of those is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And he does that in so many different ways. Trying to give us counsel that's ungodly. There's also a second danger, and that's standing in the way of sinners. That word standing means to continueth, to dwelleth, or to remain. What is he saying? He said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know what? We have to be careful that we don't stand in the way of sinners. People watch us every single day. They watch how you live. They watch how you act. They watch your attitudes. They watch how you act in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a tribulation, in the middle of a trial. People are watching how you handle that. They are looking at you. And what I'm saying to you is we got to make sure that we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We stand in the way of sinners. We got to be careful that our lives don't portray something that would cause them to think that they're just like us. We got to be different. We've got to be different than the world. We got to act different. We got to smell different. Amen. We listen, our actions have to be different. Our attitudes have to be different. I was in a restaurant a few days ago, and there was a couple sitting over here, and I was sitting over here, and she was giving the girl who was waiting on them, she was giving her so much grief. I mean, just giving her so much grief. And she finally brought their food, and after the girl walked away, they bowed their heads and asked God to bless the food. Well, that same young lady waited on me. And I just asked her, I said, how's your day been? You know what she said? She said, well, it was pretty good until that couple over there came in. What I'm saying to you is, we've got to be careful. You don't know what's going on in that girl's life. She could have been having a real bad day. She could have lost a loved one. She could be going through a difficult time in her life, and she needed some encouragement and something like that. She didn't need all that hassle in her life. And what I'm saying is, we've got to be careful that we don't sit in the seat of to stand in the way of sinners coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can hinder the gospel. You notice first, it talks about walking, and then secondly, it talks about standing, and then third, it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That word, sitteth, means to settle in, to habitat, or to tarry. God does not want us to settle in to the seat of the scornful. The progression, if you notice, first they listened, then they adopted the standards, and now they're making fun of the standards. There's first the listening, and then they adopted the standards. They were standing in with, they were standing in with, they were dwelling with the sinners, and all of a sudden now they're making fun of the standards of God. I get told all the time, you're a legalist. So I've just started You know, I've just started looking at him and saying, well, what's the definition of that? What is that? Can you really explain that to me? Tell me what that is. And so they begin to tell me. And about two or three things in, I just stop them and say, wait a minute. No, you're talking about standards. Standards are not legalism. God has standards. God has standards. Standards is not legalism. Standards are still standards. And God still has some standards. And people just don't. No, I'm not a legalist. I just got some standards. The road of the scornful is always down. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not, that doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. There are some dangers to God's blessed man if we're not careful. I want you to notice, secondly, though, the delight of God's blessed man. In verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight, that word delight, I don't know about you. I just like studying words. I like looking at words, and they help me understand. That word delight means to take pleasure in or to desire. And he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His pleasure, his desire is in the law of the Lord. Hey, listen, our desire ought to be in this book. We ought to desire to read it. We ought to desire to study it. We ought to desire to meditate on it. This ought to be our desire. Hey, listen, when I got saved, God put in my heart something about this book that I love, and I can't do without it. I've got to have it. I need it. It's for me, and it shows me how to live and what to do. It shows me what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. People today don't delight in His Word. Listen, fellas, if we want to be God's blessed man, then one of the things is required is we've got to delight in the law of the Lord. We've got to delight in His book and spend some time in it. Not give it just a brush service, but spend some time in the Word of God, studying it and learning from God. He's learned to make God's Word his delight. Some look at it as boring, but to me it's blessed. Some look at it as being dull, but I look at it as being a delight. Some look at it as fantasy, make-believe, not real. But I look at it as food for my soul. To some it's information, but to me it's inspiration. I still believe it's inspired. I still believe it's the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I know that God promised to preserve it. He said that, right? That He preserved His Word. Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up in my grandmother's house and on my aunt's dairy farm, we used to can stuff. Those tomatoes he was talking about, I've actually experienced those things blowing up. But my grandmother used to can beans and okra, pickled okra. She used to do that. She used to put up jelly and jams and preserves. And you know what? every time that she opened a jar of strawberry preserves, do you know what I got out of that jar? Strawberries. God promised to preserve His Word. Are you going to tell me that God preserved it without the same inspiration with which it was written? Huh? This is still the Word of God. It's still preserved. It's still inspired. It hasn't lost that yet. Not going to lose it. It'll always be inspired. We heard about that last night a little bit. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. If God inspired it and preserved it, it's going to be preserved exactly like He inspired it. But not many will make God's Word their delight. There's a whole lot of people. I've challenged our church this year. I've challenged everyone in our church this year to read the Bible through. It's amazing how many Christians there are that have never read the Bible all the way through. And here's what I told them. I said, start in the book of Genesis, Exodus, skip over Leviticus, go to Numbers, read all the way through Revelation, then come back and read Leviticus. Because a lot of them get discouraged in Leviticus because it's a difficult book. And a lot of repetition in the book of Leviticus, and some people get bogged down there and they quit. I said, well, just skip over it, go and read the rest of it, then come back and read that. And then you'll be almost finished and it won't be a discouragement. You'll be wanting to read it so you can say, I read the Bible through. Now, y'all may not agree with that, but I want our folks to read the Word of God. And I've challenged them to read it through this year. The Word of God was David's delight. Turn over to Psalm 119 for just a minute. Psalm 119, verse 16. The Bible says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse number 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse number 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto death. And there's many other verses that talk about it. David's delight was in the law of God, and he meditated on it. He pondered it. And you and I need to do the same thing. Number three, there's not only the dangers to God's blessed man and the delight of God's blessed man, but there's the destiny of God's blessed man. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That word planted got my attention. And so I went and looked at that word. And it carries with it the idea and meaning of being transplanted. Man, I had a spell in my office. My secretary even came and opened the door. She thought something was wrong. Transplanted. You know what God just overwhelmed me with? Is I was like a tree planted in the miry pits of sin. And one day, believing that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary and by faith receiving him as my Savior, I got plucked up and I got transplanted by the rivers of water, and I'm never going to have to leave. The tree reaching down its roots all the way down and being rooted and grounded by the rivers of water. The tree also brings forth fruit. That's what it says, right? That bringeth forth fruit in his season. The fruit of the Spirit is. Not the fruits of the Spirit are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know what God's saying? When we got transplanted by the rivers of water and our roots went down, we are to bear fruit. And the fruit that we're supposed to bear is love, joy, peace, gentleness. All those that he mentions in the book of Galatians. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It is that. We're supposed to be doing them all at the same time. It said the fruit of the Spirit is. That means that we're supposed to be doing them all the time. They ought to be evident in our life all the time. Love ought to be joy, peace, gentleness. All those ought to be in our lives all the time. I understand that they're probably not and that we fail God. But what God does want is he wants us to bear that fruit. And if we'll bear that fruit, we will delight in his word. And we won't stand in the way of sinners. We will live right. We will do right. We will act right if we'll just do that. It says his leaf shall not wither. I equated that to our testimony. When we're saved, transplanted by that river of water, our testimony shouldn't wither. Our testimony shouldn't wither. If it does anything, it ought to increase. And grow greener and stronger and more vibrant and something that can be viewed from a distance because of where we've been transplanted. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, not might, not could. But he said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever you and I do for God, God will prosper it. I'm not a prosperity gospel. I'm not that kind of, I don't believe in that name it, claim it stuff like they do it on television. But I do believe in a God that owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I serve a God that the earth is his footstool. I serve a God that has what we consider one of the most precious things here as pavement in his city. We serve a God that is not limited by the stock market, by the economy. People have begun to allow the economy and how it is, they begin to let that affect how they give. Our giving has nothing to do with the economy. Our giving has to do with God. Giving proves our love to God. That's what it talks about in the book of Malachi. Prove me now. Prove me now. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I do believe that God will provide for us. I do think He'll make us prosperous in how He wants us to be. The problem is we've determined in our society that prosperous means money. And can I tell you, serving God is a whole lot more than just money. There's a whole lot more to it than that. God knows you need money. He'll give it to you when you need it. He'll provide when you need. Last year, we had a dear couple in our church on October the 2nd. They got broadsided on the road right in front of our church. It was right before church, and we had people in the parking lot, and they saw it happen, and they went out into eternity just like that. And they were two of our best friends. Back last year, her mother, Miss Betty, got really sick. And God laid on my heart that I needed to go see Miss Betty. And I didn't know why, I didn't understand why. And I said, God, if you want me to go, then you're going to have to provide the money because I don't have it. And the next day, I got a check in the mail for more than it was going to cost me to go. And so I booked my flight, and up to New York I flew. And I sat beside a 22-year-old young lady who was coming home from college. And I was sitting there, and I have an iPad, and I was listening to some gospel music. And the song I was listening to was entitled, Thank God for Grace. And as I began to listen to that song, and I began to weep and cry, and the flight attendant, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. And the girl next to me began, sir, are you okay? I said, yeah. I took my earphones. I said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, I'm just listening to some music, and God just touched my heart. And song about grace. And she said, well, sir, what's grace? I said, well, here, let me let you listen to this song. The Wisnets sing the song, by the way, Thank God for Grace. She listened to the song, and by the end of the song, she was weeping. She took them out, and she said, I don't understand. I said, well, would you like me to show you? She said, yeah. So I have a Bible program on my iPad. I know that's sinful, but I opened up my Bible program on my iPad, and I began to flip through the scripture. And I'd hand it to her and say, here, read this. Read this. Read this. And she said, I understand it now. I said, well, young lady, I know we're on an airplane full of people and you might be a little uncomfortable. I said, but, once we get off the plane, if you'd like, I'll be glad to go with you and somewhere and you can ask Jesus into your heart. She said, no, sir, I think I'll just do it right here. So she bowed her head, and people are looking at us like we're nuts. And she bowed her head, and she prayed, and I prayed and thanked God for her salvation. And we got to Rochester, New York, and I got her name and told her I'd try to find her a good church to go to, and I got her email address and that kind of thing. And so we got off the plane, and we went down to the luggage area, and it was all hung up. So I went and got my rental car, and I came back to get my luggage, and she was still there waiting on her luggage. And about that time, her mom and dad walked in, and she ran and grabbed her mama. And I don't know what she whispered, but she grabbed her hand, and she said, come, you got to meet this guy.
And she brought her parents over, and I introduced myself to them and told them who I was. And she said, "Mama, do you have time for him to tell you about what he told me?" And she said, "Well, honey, if it's made that much difference in you, I want to know what it is." And right there in the baggage claim area in Rochester, New York, I took my iPad. I flipped it open and I began to go through the scriptures. And Mom and Dad stood together and read them together. And right there in the baggage claim area of Rochester, New York, her mom and dad, they knelt on the floor and asked the Lord to come into their life. I went to the rental car and I got in my car. I said, "Lord, I know why you sent me now." I emailed her and gave her a name of a church. They went. They've all been baptized. They've all joined the church and they're all active. I simply said all that to say this: God will provide what you need to do His work if you'll let Him. God's blessed man. Fellas, let's purpose in our heart to be God's blessed man.